Well, I did it twice, and it wasn't right. The first time, I didn't know what was happening, so I guess it wasn't my fault. But the second time, it was awesome. What am I talking about? Baptism. The first time, I was a baby, and nobody told me what was going on. I had no clue, didn't remember, and I learned years later that in reality it was of no value because it wasn't biblical. My parents, they meant well. They are good Catholics, and they taught me the way of truth, at least to their understanding. And they worked very hard, and they lived it in the home to instill in me. And one thing I'll never, ever, ever just take for granted was they instilled in me the fear of God. How many of you have parents that have instilled in you the fear of God? Yeah, we thank God for our parents. My parents are with the Lord now, and they have been for some years, but I'm so thankful for what they've done in helping me in my spiritual development. But nevertheless, being infant baptized, I was wrong. I had no clue. And it wasn't until some 19 years, 20 years later. Now, at that point, I had become born again. And before I became born again, I thought that that was just a cult. It was a religion. I was brought up to think that being born again was a cult. And when I understood, because I experienced the new birth, I realized it wasn't a cult. It was an experience. Just like we experienced the natural birth, I experienced that spiritual birth. And it wasn't too long after I got connected with like-minded, godly individuals. Not perfect, of course. But they had that same hunger for God. And it was brought to my attention that there was going to be a baptism. And I wanted to be baptized. Because I knew that I was baptized as a kid, but it had no meaning. There was no real meaning. And, you know, my parents were lied to. They were told that I was cleansed from original sin and just other things that weren't true. And it's sad because, you know, there are a lot of false teachings that come from religious institutions that say they're churches. And I'm not saying that all Catholics are unbelievers, but one thing that they do, that is that the church teaches off doctrine. It's error. And that could be verified through just studying the scriptures. But when I found out that they were going to be doing a baptism, and it was at, I believe, Cosgrove Middle School in their pool. Oh, I couldn't wait. I was so excited. I couldn't wait. I wanted to be baptized, and I wanted to obey the Lord's command to be baptized, and it is a command. It's not an option. And by the way, we're living in a time where there's so many professing Christians that aren't baptized. They're not getting baptized, and that's not right. It's not good because our Lord commanded and left the ordinance of being baptized, communion and baptism. These were two things that the Lord established. And we're talking about baptism today because today is our baptism picnic. And if you haven't been baptized, or if your baptism wasn't valid, it's so important for you to be baptized today and not push it off. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but it was a small group of us, and we were all gathered at Cosgrove, and It was such a blessing. I couldn't wait. And I remember just praying, because at that time, and I've shared this before, but at that time, the number one popular song, or at least the top 10, that was in the early 90s. How many of you could possibly guess? You could take a shot at what you think the song was. Mercy Me. That was good. I like that. But if you could remember the song, Lord, I lift your name on high. How I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from, you remember that? Oh, so wonderful, so powerful. And I was praying, oh God, it'd be so awesome if I went in to the water to be baptized, that the worship team, those that were leading, would sing that song. And exactly what I prayed for happened in that moment. It was awesome, and I was so blessed. They started singing that song. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know how when you first get saved, it's like when you first find somebody that you love, and they love you back, you know? They like you back, and you're like, I found somebody you want to tell everybody. And so I was so excited about what God was doing, and then I'll never forget, you know, being baptized and going under and coming back, and just that sense of, oh, thank you, God. And I know symbolically it has a lot of meaning. We're going to talk about the meaning of baptism. But I just remember feeling so cleansed and so washed and so renewed. You know, it was a feeling. I felt that. I mean, I was washed and cleansed and born again and made into a new creation the moment I put faith in Jesus Christ, many months prior to that. It was so wonderful to be faithful to God's word and be baptized as he is commanded. And so today we're going to be talking about the believer's baptism. And it's so important that after a person gets saved, the very next step is to be baptized. It's not to wait. Now, in upstate New York, we don't get too many opportunities to go out as we are today, and I hope all of you come. And if you don't come, I'm not going to heap any condemnation or judgment on you. But and I understand if you have previous plans and you've been baptized. But if you can come, change your plans. If you can, change your plans. Support your brothers, support your sisters that are going to be baptized. And come, and you'll be blessed. And I'll even give you a hamburg. We'll take care of feeding you. I won't. God provides, though. But it's not always available to us, but when it makes itself available, the very next thing you should do is be baptized, and you should pursue it. And today's a good day because it's a beautiful day, and we're going to be baptized. Now, water baptism is the right thing to do for the believer. The question is why? I already alluded to it, but Christian baptism is done for at least three reasons. And the first is, as I mentioned, obedience. Obedience. If you remember the words of our Lord, he said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, notice, all authority, and he's speaking to his disciples, all authority. I am the authority of all authorities, and all authority has been given to me. I am that authority in heaven and on earth. And with that authority, and when it comes to authority, you know, if I wrote you a note so you didn't have to go to work this week because you were not feeling well and you brought that to your boss. Maybe you took a picture and sent it on your phone. Your boss would say, when he sees my signature, Dave Crespo, he would say, who's Dave Crespo? Who's, he's my pastor. and care less. But if your doctor signs that note, and you give that doctor's note, you have a much better chance if your doctor says he has a serious case of coronavirus, he needs to stay home. Well, all authority has been given to the Lord, and he, with that authority, he sends his disciples out. And he tells them, go. Because all of authority has been given to me. I am the authority of all authorities. I am sending you out with that authority. You go and make disciples. Discipleship happens through things like this. Through teaching the Word of God. Amen. And we'll see how the disciples that were baptized continued in the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship is another key ingredient for discipleship making. In prayer, communion, all of these things, they develop and cause the follower of Christ to be disciple in the truths of Christ. That's what discipleship is learning the things that Jesus taught. Jesus, our wonderful Savior, who loves us and gave his life for us on the cross. There's no one else like him. Amen. And he's not just a fairy tale that somebody made up. No, he is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and one that all of us will give an account to one day. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The good news is that if we confess him as Lord now, we will be forever with him. Amen. But if we reject him now, when we confess him then, it would be a confession of truth, but then the destination of those who've rejected Christ while here on the earth in this time of grace, sadly, unfortunately, would cause that the individual would not enter into the kingdom of God, but go to hell. Jesus talked a lot about hell, actually talked more about hell than he did heaven. And I'd be a horrible pastor if I didn't tell you that there is a hell. And Christ doesn't want you to go there. That's why he did everything that he did in order for you to be saved. He made salvation so easy. And that is, all you have to do is receive him by faith. That's it. Receive him by faith. He loves you. 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 Don't reject him. He loves you. So he says, go and make disciples. And notice, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. Go make disciples and baptize them. Now, he tells them about how to make disciples. He tells them to teach. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's how disciples are made. But in there, he says, baptizing them. It was a command. You go out and baptize followers of me. Those who make commitments to me and those who make commitments to Christ must be baptized in obedience. The second thing, the second reason for Christian baptism and why it's done is for a public witness. A public witness. You know, GotQuestions.org says this, and I quote, according to the Bible, Christian baptism is simply a step of obedience, publicly declaring faith in Christ alone for salvation, commitment to him, and identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But it is indeed a public witness. And today it's going to be awesome as the church surrounds those who are going to be baptized publicly. We're going to be out there at Hamlin Beach, and people will see what's going on, and it draws some attention. We used to do it for many years, and we did it for a few years here, but now we're back at Hamlin, and I can't wait. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be done publicly. And then the third thing is, because of its spiritual significance. The first is the cleansing. It signifies a cleansing that takes place, a washing. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, reading out of the New Living Translation, says this: "And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house," of course he's speaking of Jesus, "let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Now, we know that there's nothing in the water. It's symbolic, but there's been a cleansing. That's the spiritual significance. The blood is what cleanses us, but then the baptism is that public manifestation of something that took place within. There's that cleansing that took place. There's also the spiritual significance of the death and resurrection. Now, we know that Christ died and He rose, but whether you realize it or not, when Christ died, we died in Christ. And when Christ rose, we rose in Christ. He made it possible for us to have this eternal life that's been given to us freely. And one day, what's taken place positionally, I say that often, but what's taken place, in other words, what God and how God sees it, and He reveals to us how He sees things, specifically speaking of death and resurrection, it's going to manifest itself. We're going to experience it fully. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, again reading on the New Living Translation, he says, "You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." You know, in Christian baptism, the action of being immersed in the water pictures being buried with Christ, and the action of coming out of the water pictures being resurrected with Christ. Now we talk about baptism, but it's important to bring up who shouldn't be baptized, because not everyone should be baptized. At least not before certain things happen. Well, you shouldn't be baptized if you're being baptized to be saved. In other words, if you think that being baptized is what saves you, you shouldn't be baptized, because that reveals you really don't understand salvation. You are baptized as a result of salvation, not to be saved. Or you shouldn't be baptized to bargain with God. Some people do that. Some people, "Well, I will do this if you do this." Yeah. And I've known people to bargain with God. And it's a sad thing. Some people, because of trouble in their family, they're trying to do things, you know, to try to restore the family, because they've made some bad decisions and they've brought damaging consequences to their marriage or their kids. And so they start coming to church, and then they hear about baptism, and then they think, "Well, God, I'll get baptized. If I get baptized, will you restore my family? Will you?" There's no bargaining. Now, I would pray those prayers and continue to seek the Lord, but baptism should be out of a pure, genuine desire to obey Christ since you've been saved. And who should be baptized? Well, there are some requirements before a person can be saved. Of course, the person being baptized must have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, must understand the gospel. That is simple. Paul talks about what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very simple. Christ came. He was crucified. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When a person commits themselves, which real faith is, genuine faith, it's not a mental assent. I could believe something with my head, but not believe it with my heart. But genuine salvation, genuine faith, is when a person entrusts their spiritual well-being to Christ. And they fully commit themselves to Christ. And the result of genuine faith is a changed life. There's actions that follow genuine faith. And as we'll see what the actions were to the early disciples, 3,000 souls that got saved and were baptized, and then what they did, what their actions were. And so a person must believe and have trusted Christ and must understand the symbolism of baptism, what they're doing. When I was baptized as a baby, I didn't understand, and it wasn't genuine. And that's why, as an adult, I was baptized. You know, when you ask, well, what does water baptism show? Water baptism shows an outward display of an inward reality of what has happened in the life, in the heart, in the mind of the believer. And there are at least two things that happen within a heart and mind of a person who exercises genuine faith in Christ before baptism. Do you know what the first thing is? The first thing is conviction. There's a conviction that takes place. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "Now when they had heard this," you can read what the "this" was later on, but it was the gospel. Peter was preaching the gospel. And when they heard the gospel and what they had done to the Messiah, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. In other words, they came under conviction. Remember the day that you came under the conviction of God? And that day that you came under the genuine conviction of God's Spirit, if it was true conviction, then there was actions that followed, and it was the second thing, one very specific thing that took place. And if these things haven't happened, then you have to ask yourself, are you really a follower of Christ? There's a lot of churchgoers. There's a lot of people who think that they're okay just because they go to church, or maybe they grew up in a Christian family, so this is all they know, but they've never made a real commitment to Christ because these things haven't happened. There's no real conviction. And the second thing is there's no repentance. If there's no repentance, there's no change of heart. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've done against you. Then your faith may be in vain. There is vain faith. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. There is vain faith. He talks about it in other epistles, unless you believe in vain. And we just can't afford to have vain faith, empty faith. It has to be biblical faith. These folks, they repented. They were convicted, and under conviction, they said, what must we do? What must we do? And Peter, he said to them in verse 38, repent. Repent. Repent is a lost word in many churches today. It's a sad, sad thing. There are so many churches that they're really not churches. They become places of entertainment, places where they're motivational. They're a motivational experience. They're very egocentric. And a lot of people flock to it. Messages like this, some of you are ready to leave, some of you are checking out, some of you are thinking about your grocery list, some of you are like, this is boring, this is dull. Hey, this is God's Word. And people who love God's Word, although it's a much smaller group than people who profess to know God, love it. And you love it, you love it. When you love God's Word, you're hungry for it, and you take it, as long as it's being taught in genuineness, you'll take it in any form. Sometimes I listen to Bible teachers, and they are not very good at all, but they're teaching the Word of God, and God uses those people to impact my heart in such a wonderful and profound way. And then I'll hear some excellent, excellent communicators, and I get so distracted because I get so angry that, hey, they have such a wonderful platform and they are teaching lies to people about God. And people love it that way. They flock to churches like that. I'm not saying every big church is a church like that, but it is true. Repentance is not a word you hear in church too much. Hell, you don't hear that too much. It's offensive. It can be offensive. But Peter, he says, repent. And let every one of you be baptized. Look at that. So there's conviction that took place. Then there's repentance that takes place. And then there's a commandment. Be baptized. Repent is a command, but be baptized is connected to that. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, or when the conviction takes place and a person repents, a person becomes born again, and as a result, there's a forgiveness of sins, and the person should be baptized. Because there's other scriptures that say, although this may look and appear as it's saying that you need to be baptized in order for your sins to be forgiven, there's other scriptures, and we'll look at it, that teach that just the mere act of water baptism doesn't cause forgiveness of sins. And so if, in order for it to be true, it's got to be true everywhere. It's got to be consistent everywhere in the scriptures. And so when you study the scriptures in its totality, you understand that the only thing that saves is a confession of faith, a true, genuine confession of faith towards Christ and repentance. It comes from conviction. And then water baptism is as an act of obedience. And then look what he says. He says, for the promise of salvation, the promise of the Holy Spirit, because he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which that's when you know you're born again, because the Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. He says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And then it tells us, and with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That is an active word right there. That is so relevant today. Be saved from this perverse generation. It is an alive, well, all the scripture is, but it is a very relevant and current message. Be saved from this perverse generation. And then there are two things that happen with the person who exercises genuine faith in Jesus after baptism. One, we've mentioned it, obedience. Look what it says in verse 41. Then those who gladly received the word, what did they do? They went to Tim Hortons and got coffee. No, they were baptized. You don't hear anyone saying, oh, but my makeup is going to run, and you know, I didn't know that there was going to be a baptism today. They don't say that. They don't say, oh, I don't have any, you know, I don't have any other clothes. They don't say that. I didn't bring a change of clothes. I don't have a towel. What's going to happen if I get baptized? I mean, like, who's going to be watching? I mean, I'm embarrassed. I can't do that in front of people. there's a cute guy at church, and if he sees me like this, none of that. You don't hear anything like that at all. And notice there's 3,000 souls that were added to them. 3,000 souls. These folks, they were obedient and they were baptized. And then the fourth thing, or the second thing that happens after, is there was a continuance. And notice what they did. This is how discipleship is made. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, that's partnership together, in the house of God, studying the Word of God, in breaking of bread and communion, and remembering the Lord's Supper. We do that every first Sunday of the month. And in prayer. They spend time together as a church, as a church. So there was this continuance. It's so sad. I see people come and go. People come to church and then they just kind of fall away. It's so sad. But genuine believers don't do that. Genuine believers, I mean, sometimes things happen, but genuinely believers, when they come to Christ, there's that conviction, there's that repentance, there is that obedience, and there is that staying, that continuing. You know, I've been walking with the Lord since I was 19 years old. I am 53 now, and there is a lot of reasons why I could have left the church. A lot of reasons. A lot of things that happen in church life that aren't good. And some Christians, they subject you to some things, and it makes you feel like, why even bother? So there is many reasons why I could have said, forget church. I'm done with church. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I'll tell you one thing. The church didn't save me. Amen. Jesus saved me. Amen. And the church is filled with people just like me. Sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? Of course not. None of us are perfect. And then you start growing and you think, well, even our own families. I mean, husbands, not violently or physically, but hurt their wives, their feelings, say things that hurt. Wives hurt their husbands. Children take all their parents' money. Children do things that hurt parents and sometimes lie. And you don't walk away from your family. You work through those things when there's real love. You work through those things. And we're family. And yeah, bad things happen. I'd rather go through bad things with church people than ungodly people. So let's stick together. Well, there's that continuance. Now, a question that is asked, well, and I've already answered it, but to be specific, will water baptism save me? The answer is no. No. Only Christ saves, faith in Christ. No, the physical act of water baptism cannot save a person. One doesn't get baptized to be saved, but is baptized because one is saved. Peter, he says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. He says, there is also an antitype or a picture of baptism which now saves us. And he says, baptism. But then notice what he says here, and it's in parentheses. He says, now, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, not the water, the physical act of baptism. That's not what saves. So what does save? The answer of a good conscience towards God. The answer of a good conscience towards God. And so he says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism through the resurrection of Christ. But to make it clear that people don't misunderstand, and maybe because he said what he said on the day of Pentecost and people understood, well, maybe if I'm just washed, forgiveness of sins, that's what you said, Peter. You said on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, that repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remissions of sin. Maybe after that, he had to bring some clarity, some greater clarity. And then he wrote this after the book of Acts was written. This was written here, and he's very clear here that water baptism is not what saves, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. How soon? Well, as soon as you can, the soonest the opportunity avails itself. If you remember Philip, he was drawn to an Ethiopian man who the Lord sent him to the Ethiopian man. And the Ethiopian man, he was a eunuch, and he worked for, I believe, a queen. I can't remember where off the top of my head. But he was reading the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading. And so Philip, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, went next to the chariot, and he asked him, he says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" He goes, "How can I if I have no one explain it to me?" Sometimes people aren't baptized because they don't know. They're, you know, ignorance. Now, this man, he didn't even know Jesus, but he was reading about Isaiah. It says how he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And he continued to read. And then, you know, the eunuch said to Philip, he says, "Who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is the prophet talking about himself, the prophet, or is he talking about another?" And the scripture tells us that Philip, from that point, preached Jesus to him. And he must have, in sharing about Jesus, taking him from that Old Testament scripture and just sharing Jesus with him. That's a great example for us. Whenever anybody brings a question about the Bible to you, you should always lead people to Jesus. Because Jesus is the Savior and the answer. Really, the real answer for everyone's questions. Once a person knows Jesus, all the lights turn on, for the most part. There's still growth, but the lights turn on. And so, in that explanation, at some point, he must have talked about the importance of being baptized. Because the eunuch, he said to Philip, as they were going down the road, they came to some water, and he said, "Hey, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And notice what he said. And he only said this and understood this because of the preaching of the gospel that Philip had shared with him. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He believed. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. He was baptized right then and there. How soon? The first opportunity that came. And notice, he pursued it. Philip didn't say, "Hey, there's water here. Why don't you get baptized?" That man, he already had put faith in Christ. He saw the water, heard what Philip had said, and said, "Water? Obedience? Be baptized? What's hindering me? Let's do it. Let's get this done. I believe." Amen. And Philip says, "Quacha! Felicidades." Some of you might get that. Now, if I've been water baptized as a baby or baptized into another group, someone might ask, since I've become a Christian, you know, just baptized as a baby, is that okay? And I haven't been baptized as a Christian, and it's been 5 years or 4 years or 2 years or 10 years that I became a Christian. Do I need to get baptized again? Or maybe you're baptized in some other group. You're baptized into some other, even maybe a cult group, a Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or some kind of other group, not a Christian, not true Christianity. Should I be baptized? Well, I would say yes. Now, where's my biblical substantiation for that? And we're going to end with this here. And you could look at Acts chapter 19. Notice this. In verse 1 it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples," notice that, "he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' Now, why would he say that? They're disciples. He says, you believed. But why would he ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, because Paul, being a discerning man, discerned that they had not had the Holy Spirit. There was something not quite right with them, even though he mentions them being disciples. And then notice, and being discerning, he hit the nail right on the head. Look at their reply. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They didn't even know. So whose disciples are these people? They're not a disciple of Jesus, because if they knew Jesus, they would know about being baptized. They would know about the Holy Spirit. So whose disciples are they? This is what Paul is wondering. And so he asked them in verse 3, he says, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Oh, John's baptism. John the Baptist. Now, so much time had gone by. I mean, where were these guys? That they didn't hear that Jesus had come, that the Messiah fulfilled the ministry, that he was killed, buried, and then rose again. Where was he during the time when, after Christ had risen and ascended to heaven, that Peter preached the gospel, the church started and exploded? It wasn't until some time later Paul got saved. Paul's already saved. I mean, this is Acts chapter 19. Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, 10 chapters later. Where were these guys? They didn't hear all of this that had happened. They were waiting. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, preparing the way to receive the Messiah, and yet they had not heard that the Messiah had come. And Paul, he says, hey, verse 4, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, yeah, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And then at this point, when they heard this, notice, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were baptized under John's baptism, but here Paul says that they need to be baptized in Christ. And so they were baptized again. And so if you were baptized as a baby, but you became a Christian, and you haven't been baptized since, I would say that that baptism is not valid. You should be baptized in Jesus. Or if you were baptized in a Jehovah's Witness church, or baptized in a Mormon church, or baptized in some denominational church that really doesn't teach the truth, as I was, then you should be baptized again. Well, hopefully you understand what the Bible says about baptism much better now. And based on what you've heard today, you should ask yourself, should you be baptized? That's the question, should you be baptized? And if you haven't been baptized, or if you've been baptized in something that's not biblical, the answer to that question is yes, you should be baptized. And if you don't have the clothes, or if you need a ride, or if there's something, come see me after. We'll make sure you get there. We make sure that we even have clothes for you. We even have a towel, shorts, shirts. And remember, I said, we'll feed you. So I want to encourage you, be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. If you can make it and you've been baptized, let's go and support our brothers and sisters. We're going to have a wonderful day, and we'll be a public testimony to the people around, and who knows what God will do. And Father, we thank you for your word and for this time together. And as now we close the service, just sharing the announcements, I just pray that you would continue to be glorified in all things. Lord, I thank you for every heart that's here and maybe even somebody that's watching online, that they would feel conviction if they haven't been baptized yet. They've made a commitment to you that they would meet us at Shelter 3 over at Hamlin State Park. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to provide for us. We're going to eat a wonderful meal and then be baptized around 2:30. I pray, God, that you would just make sure that every heart here that needs to be baptized, and even more so, that every person that has heard and knows that they should be baptized, that they would follow through in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.